This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Friday, January 13th, 2017. A very nice, respectable, juicy nine-game slate for Friday. I am your host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter, at DanielAGreen1. You probably can tell my voice still sounds not great because I still am dealing with a cold, although I feel a lot better than the last 2 days. Basically didn't barely get out of bed for a couple days, just from nasty, cold. Same thing probably going around most of the NBA right now. Although I didn't have the flu, so I think the flu is going around a lot of the NBA. So at least that was good. But, man, I'd like to say thank you to all those who wish me well. And I will say 96% of you are great. The other 4% of you listening, man, you guys did not take well to having no podcast yesterday. And it's pretty funny. Some of you were very upset there was no podcast. And I would just say to that, sorry, guys. I mean, I do what I can, man. But I'm only human. I'm only one guy. And I'm doing these shows late at night. And I'm doing the best I can. And yeah. So if you want to come at me and yell at the judge, I would just say, you know, you can probably use that energy in a more positive, better way. But most of you have been great. So I'm glad to be back. Happy to have the show on Friday. A glorious slate. The slate on Thursday was not that fantastic. Everyone was on basically all the same guys. There wasn't a ton of value. I mean, I don't think I've seen a slate this year where you had four or five guys all 50% plus owned. I mean, Carmelo, Wade, Drew Holiday, and even like Buddy Hield were all over 40%. And Wade was close to like 80% in single entry fees. I didn't play cash. To me, this is the tournament only day. And if you know the judge, you've been listening, you'd understand a slate like this that screamed GPP only. There's kind of no reason to play cash when the ownership was going to be that high on four, five, six different players. So sadly, since I've been ill, I wasn't able to play a ton. But then again, maybe it was a good thing because some of my guys did not play well. And also Tyreek Evans decided to be the soul crusher of the day. So if you played Tyreek, the judge salutes you. If you didn't play Tyreek, which we'll talk about when we get to the Dream Killer Soul Crusher portion of the show, man, did he absolutely demolish everything that went on in that Brooklyn Pelicans game. I mean, he destroyed the pace. He destroyed Drew Holiday touching the ball. He didn't let Buddy Hield get back on the floor. He hurt everyone else involved. Because if you watch Tyreek play over the, you know, since he's been in the NBA, he is the greatest ball stopper ever that I've ever seen. I mean, he will dribble for 22 seconds on the shot clock and then take a fadeaway jumper, horribly fadeaway, a contested fadeaway jumper. He's basically similar to DeMar DeRozan in a lot of ways, except he can't, not as skilled of a shot maker. But that said, I mean, he played amazing. So if you had him, congrats. But if you didn't have him, and man, he hurt everyone else in that game. It was painful because I did not have him. Before we start the show, if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, that'd be great. I think one reason why what's hurting us in the rankings, I did some digging, or actually someone told me this, is a lot of us are listening because we're getting like over 6,000 downloads and listens, which is fantastic. But a lot of us are not subscribing, and which makes a difference. So if you could subscribe to the podcast, and I know it takes up some of your memory in the phone or your app or computer or whatever it is, but the judge would very much appreciate that as well. So it's great, review, subscribe. Let us get back in to dominate the rankings. If we could beat one of the fishing, all we can do is beat a fishing, archery, bone arrow, hunting show, and we will be back on track. But we're doing really well. Over 6,000 listens is pretty amazing, I think. I don't know why you guys are listening to me, 6,000 people. That's too many. If you want a premium service consultation with the judge, my apologies to those of you I've had to cancel on the last couple days. Although literally you would have not have got your money's worth by the judge sitting in his bed with the bailiff just snoring heavily. So the consultation from last couple days I'm making up in the next coming days. But if you would like one for next week, I think I have maybe one or two openings for next week still. I'm only able to do one or two a day because, as you know, time is an issue for the judge. But if you really want to Focus on your strengths, research tools, roster construction. Make sure you're entering the right contest and tracking the right data, using the right analytics. The Judge is here to help you start making money in DFS, because I'm telling you guys, it's getting harder and harder to make money consistently. One, there's too many scams out there. There's too many frauds. There's too many sites that are full of crap. And you have too many people probably trying to tell you who to play each night. There's a lot of people out there who claim to be experts, and they're ridiculously unknowledgeable and disgusting with the kind of information that they spew out. Not to mention some of the sites that actually are sponsored by FanDuel and DraftKings and tell you all the wrong, you know, contests to enter. It's pretty – I mean, these days, you just got to be careful. So the Judge is here. I mean, look, I don't make any money doing this, so I'm here to help you guys in any way I can, as long as I can. And then once I get sick enough, then I will do no more podcasts because eventually the Judge will need to sleep for 6 months straight. But for the time being, I am here. Let us all make money together. We will all achieve glory one day. One day soon. All right. Also, I hope you download the app Draft. Use the right promo code, guys, DFBPOD. When you download, many of you download it and you can't find it, let me know, and then I will make sure you get credit for that and get your deposit bonus, and also the Judge gets credit. We have started the 5-day battle to the death extravaganza. There's two judges' chambers going on right now on the app Draft, which is basically snake drafts where you draft 5 players, 2 guards, 2 forwards, and a center. It's awesome. And right now we currently have 2 brackets, like I said, in the judges' chambers. We started with round of 32 in both brackets. So now I think we're down to the Sweet 16 on Friday, and then we have the Elite 8 Saturday. And then I think the Final 4 Sunday, and the championship will be Monday, if I'm not mistaken. But what I don't know, because I'm trying to work with Draft, first of all, to be able to get like an updated picture of where we currently stand in the bracket, because I can't see. So if you're still in it right now, if you're one of the Sweet 16 teams in it, let the Judge know, because I want to give you some dap, give you some props on the show. Because the Judge, unfortunately, I am furious at this. So my draft, my round of 32 was when? I think it was – all the days get confused with me, especially when you're sick. I think it was Wednesday it started for me. And since I was so sick, I couldn't even do a live draft. I had to do an auto one in my round of 32 battle. And so the Judge lost doing an auto draft. I'm $20 down the drain. Also, I wanted the glory to take down the first judge of chambers on the app Draft. So I'm furious at that. Whoever beat me, I don't know who the hell beat me, whoever that guy's name is. Reveal yourself. Come forward to the Judge. But so hopefully you guys are having fun with that. Like I said, I think we're down to the Sweet 16. Maybe the Elite 8 at this point, quite honestly. But hopefully we'll get some more of those up in the lobby there on Draft. And I will let you guys know when we do. And I think we're going to try to expand it to like 64 entries per tournament or per bracket next week. And also maybe lower the entry fee from $20 to $10. Because a lot of you said 20 was a little too steep, which I understand. But just remember, it is for 5 days. All right. Chambers, as you guys know, we're currently running 3 chambers on FanDuel, 1 chambers on DraftKings. The one on DraftKings currently has about 75 people in it. I kind of like the 75 people. I don't know if I want to up it to 100 or not. If you guys – let me know your thoughts. If you guys think we should up it to 100, we can try that, Rob. But right now, 75 seems to be good. My worst fear is if we try to do 100 and it doesn't fill up and then we have like a quote-unquote free contest running, that would be super annoying. Also, let me say this. When it comes to chambers, please read the rules. So if you go to my website, dgcourtroomdfs.com, which behind the scenes, the Judge has a little helper right now, and we may be starting to get the website up and running on a more kind of more interactive and more – what's the right word? I guess it's a more active basis, because right now there's not a whole lot going on the website because the Judge doesn't have the time. So there may be a lot more going on the website in the near future, which would be really cool. But if you go to the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com, and just click on Power Rankings, you'll see the Power Rankings. Then go to the bottom, and you see all the rules. Please read the rules, because in the rules it says, on FanDuel, only enter one of the chambers. The demand's about 200 at least a night from people wanting to get into chambers, and there's only 60 spots, because we have 3 chambers on FanDuel, 20 people a pop. So if one person enters 2, that's limiting, you know, one of the, you know, one of the 200 plus people that can't get in, which sucks. So I will get to in a second. Someone who won chambers on Thursday entered two of them. So that's not good. The judge, I understand it because first of all, it's my fault. I probably should have tweeted out the rules more often, but just going forward, please make sure you do read the rules and only enter one chambers. I just wanted as many people as possible to be able to enter that. For those newbies out there who are listening to the show, what is chambers? Chambers is just a daily tournament that we run on basically FanDuel, DraftKings, and now the app draft, where we have the greatest players in the land challenging one another, taking each other down, and then the judge creates a best of the best chambers, usually on Fridays when I'm not deathly sick, and also has a power rankings up. So you can track your results, and we can deem who is the greatest DFS player in the entire world. So chambers for Thursday. Like I said, we did have one lad who didn't obey the rules, but he still got a victory. So shout out to Jordan5L. On one hand, I have my gavel here. I object to you entering two chambers, but I do salute you for winning one of them and finishing second in the other. I will not count your second place finish in the power rankings because you disobeyed the judge's orders. But congrats, man. I'm proud of you, 301.5. It's your third win, fifth cash on the year. Mystics also won a chambers, 301.6. His first win and cash. So I love seeing the newbies in there. I think we're up to close to 200 people cashing in chambers, which is pretty amazing. That's just cashing in chambers in the year. Over 500 people who have actually played in chambers. So keep it coming. Let's keep it going. If you want to get in chambers, remember, the easiest way to do it is tweet at me. Do not DM me. I cannot keep track of the DMs. I'm getting over 100 DMs a day, if not more than that, and that's just too many for the judge to keep track in a timely manner. I may see it, but the odds of me seeing it before lineup lock or before, you know, in a timely manner might not happen. And then also Justin P94 won a chambers, his second win of the year, his third cash. So congrats to you, Justin. On DraftKings, the winner out of 75 people was Derek Ismail. I don't know if that's like a play on words on Rocket Ismail. If it is, I dig it. I'm down with it. I'm old enough to remember Rocket Ismail. I remember when Rocket was on the Packers, and I think he was. I'm thinking Desmond Howard. Wait, was Rocket Ismail before Desmond Howard or after? Now I'm confused. Wasn't he even before Desmond? Man, a lot of you in the podcast might have no idea who that is. Then some of you guys might not even know who Desmond Howard is. Man, the judge is old. Also, shout out to Chris Hearn, took second place in DraftKings chambers, and MG Fresh, who plays both chambers, got third place. And that I do not mind. You can play DraftKings and FanDuel chambers. That I have no issues with whatsoever. But just remember, only enter one of the FanDuel chambers. All right, Dream Killers. How about coaches? I mean, dear God, these coaches are driving us all insane. I mean, I think it was yesterday, Brad Stevens, when every Boston Celtic in the free world was – all their bigs were out. I mean, Amir Johnson was out. One of the 8 million Zellers was out. I forgot who else was out. So for sure, I mean, you got to think Kelly Olynyk's going to get the start, right? Oh, no. Say Mickey from the song Say Mickey gets the start. I don't know if he played a minute all year long. Just – it's unbelievable. Like, I think Spoelstra was the first time I remember this happening. I think I remember hearing him say this like 4 years ago when he was like, you know, it seems like 20 years ago when Miami had LeBron, Wade, and Bosch. And what happened to Bosch? I feel bad for that guy. He hasn't played basketball in like 4 years. But I remember Miami had an injury, and then we all thought like Ray Allen was going to start, and then he didn't. And then Spoelstra was like, you know what? I really think it's important we keep that second unit intact. But, you know, it's really crucial. And now it seems like every coach does that. Like they have to keep their second unit intact because, oh no, if they took someone from the second unit and put it in this first, in the starting lineup, I mean, the world may end. It's just absurd. So you start bums like, say, Mickey. The Bulls today started the zip line, hashtag zip line, the zipster. Who is this guy? I mean, again, another guy, I think he's was like 1 for 16 on the year, barely playing at all. And because, you know, Hoiberg, we got to keep those we don't speak of, you know, off the bench, keep him in his role. He'd be too nervous to start. It's just so comical. I couldn't believe it. Not only that, then the Zipster, hashtag Zipline, plays the most minutes on the entire Bulls team on Thursday night. It was laughable, yet it was also like a fireable offense. I'm just so offended by this. And the Bulls really didn't, he did nothing well. It was a wasted 33, 34 minutes that guy played. So coaches, dream killer. Tyreke Evans, he's a dream killer, soul crusher, and a dream lover, depending if you played him, didn't play him. I did not play him, so for me, he's a soul crusher, quite honestly. He's worse than a dream killer because he was so good, but like that game started off, if you play guys in that game, it started off fantastic. Brooklyn, New Orleans. The pace was to the judge's delight. Me and the bailiff were doing high fives. You know, it was mostly like a high five to a paw. So it's hard to high five your dog, but we did it because Drew Holiday was tremendous. Brooke Lopez was great. Buddy Hield was off to an okay start. And then Tyreke came in. Dribble, 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 slowed that pace down to a screeching halt. Didn't let anyone else from New Orleans touch it. I mean, I'm pretty sure Drew Holiday, he had like 14, 16 FanDuel points in the first quarter, almost had like zero in the second quarter. Plus, Elvin Gentry didn't even play Drew Holiday that many minutes in the first half because Tyreke was just already starting to dominate so much. And, you know, once you slow down the pace of the game, it does impact every single other player because it's just less possessions for everyone else. And especially on the Pelicans, no one else is touching the ball. So if you had someone else on the Pelicans, besides Terrence Jones, who was also awesome, the only other guy who you know, God forbid Tyreke would let touch it, he was great. But anyone else besides them really struggled the rest of that game. I mean, it was a miracle Drew Holiday still ended up with over 30 FanDuel points. But if there was no Tyreke, Drew Holiday would have had like a 50 FanDuel point night because it was just a layup line in that first quarter. KCP is a dream killer. So he went out after like 4 minutes with a shoulder injury. So if you played him, you were probably pretty furious. So my condolences if you played some KCP. Reggie Jackson. Everyone for the Pistons to me was a dream killer on this slate. They were not able to keep the game close against Golden State. The only guy who showed up and played well was Marcus Morris. I guess maybe Stanley Johnson because that's the guy who he ended up playing 37 minutes when KCP went out, although he didn't do much with those 37 minutes. D'Angelo Russell, horrific. The Lakers got destroyed by San Antonio. The Lakers, it was a mess, except if you played Randall. Buddy Hield, just a massive letdown. Tyreke just destroyed him. It's the problem. Another, you know, you've heard me say this all the time with the one-trick ponies, but Buddy Hield's even harder than a one-trick pony because he's not even locked into a lot of minutes. There's certain nights, and I thought Thursday was a chance to still play him because it's Brooklyn and Brooklyn's so bad. I thought maybe he gets some layups, some easy buckets, but the minutes just weren't there, especially Tyreke just crucified. And also I should mention for Tyreke, what happened to the 20-minute restriction he's on? Yeah, that was out the window. So Buddy Hield, dream killer for sure. D-Wade, I am as a dream killer because he got 12 first half minutes. He's coming off a rest. No Jimmy Butler, and you play him 12 minutes in the first half? I mean, he still got to 30 FanDuel points, but at his salary and without Butler, and he sees a 13% usage rate without Butler, he should have had about 50 FanDuel points tonight. In the second half, he was great. He was the only Chicago Bull that did anything. Like anyone else should have got a fine for even attempting a shot in the second half, like hashtag Zipline. But when you play 12 first half minutes, you're obviously going to be super limited. And so that was that probably stopped Wade from having at least like a 40 FanDuel point night. And it really did hurt because it allowed guys like Klay Thompson and Devin Booker to outscore Wade. And if you played, that was the way to win big money. If you had the balls to pivot off of Wade and play someone like a Devin Booker who was in a horrible slowdown paced matchup versus Dallas or Klay, and if they could outscore Wade, you were going to make some money because Wade was so high owned. Taj Gibson, I mean Fred Hoiberg destroyed. I mean, while Wade, Gibson, and Robin Lopez, you could say Robin Lopez still almost hit value. Well, you could say those guys are dream killers. I mean, Hoiberg didn't let Gibson or Lopez play a minute in the fourth quarter. He went a lot of Bobby Portis, a lot of Felicio. So don't ask me why, because the Knicks were destroying them down low. Every center on the Knicks had a monster day. I mean, Coach Hoiberg is disgusting, and he may be the first coach that should get fired. I was trying to root for him, because I'm, as you guys know, I'm a huge D-Wade fan. He's my favorite player in the NBA, and followed him since the Marquette days. But Hoiberg is a disaster. He really is. So I'm not sure how long he's going to last in that job. His rotations tonight in playing hashtag zipline that many minutes was just disgusting. Brook Lopez, I have him as a dream killer because if you're 7 feet eight tall and you're outside of the three-point line taking six, seven, eight three-pointers a game, like I guess on some matchups I get it, that's fine. But when you can absolutely destroy the Pelicans, and you were destroying the Pelicans, and there's so many centers who are doing this now, they're standing in. I mean, first of all, and also Brook Lopez, the Nets stuck. They have so they're so limited on offensive talent. Why is your best player standing in the corner outside the 3-point line? Like, get him in the. What are coaches doing? Get him in the post and get him the freaking ball. Just another thing, just super annoying. I mean, I don't think he even hit 30 Fando points, and he must have had close to 20 at the half. It's just, it's disgusting. Why is he out on the perimeter? It makes no sense. Drummond, I think he fell asleep during the Golden State game because that's what he does. And then Durant, I have him as a dream killer because Kawhi and Melo basically were able to get the same amount of points as Durant. And if that can happen, then you're a dream killer because Durant needed to outscore those guys if he was going to make someone some money tonight. Dream lovers, Tyreke Evans. Like, I mean, even though I'm trashing him mostly because I didn't play him, he was great. But I do think this is a bad thing going forward for like guys like Anthony Davis, going to lower his usage. Drew Holiday, I don't know how I can play him again, especially if Tyreke's minutes are going to keep going up on the rise. So, yeah, I mean, I guess Tyreke's going to be in play on some nights now. But I hate watching him play basketball, but he was great on Thursday. Terrence Jones. Also, he was spectacular. I mean, did he destroy Brooklyn? Brooklyn had no one to contain him. He should be starting for the Pelicans every night. Elvin Gentry, another coach who's an absolute buffoon and a moron. He doesn't give this guy minutes. Every time Terrence Jones gets minutes, he smashes. Granted, it was Brooklyn, but still, he was terrific. Almost 40 Fando points. The problem was he was just so crazy high-owned. One of my sneaky ninjas, Darren Williams, I tweeted this out before lineup lock. He put up over 40 Fando points. So if you played him, you probably had a good night. Marcus Morris, the only Piston who played well. Devin Booker, this is what, if a one-trick pony gets hot, this can happen. So he was playing way down in pace against Dallas, but he came through. I think some of the Chambers winners played some Booker. Klay was okay. Melo was good. Melo gets such a massive bump when Porzingis is out of the lineup. You almost have to play Melo, even though I know some of us don't like to. He came through. Kawhi, even though the Spurs destroyed the Lakers, put up over 40. Waffle House Randall was the only Laker who did well, at least that I played. Trevor Booker actually for the Nets came through. One of his like 10 games that he actually gets minutes. And then every center for the Knicks, Noah O'Quinn, I'm sure one of the foreign guys played well. They all had big nights. And Tyson Chandler came through which was a little surprising because Phoenix against Dallas. And then Dallas ended up starting Dirk at the five, and they started Seth Curry at the two. So when I saw that, I'm like, oh, wow, maybe if Phoenix goes small and Tyson Chandler doesn't play a lot of minutes. But no, Tyson Chandler still came through. All right, now we are revealing a new segment on the show. It is called the Judge's Corner, where the judge – I feel like my legal skills are not being utilized enough, so I must make a ruling. And the ruling, first of all, for those of you who have not been paying attention or listening to the show last few days, I'll say this guy's name one time. Doug McDermott. His name is hashtag those we don't speak of. And that's because you can Google it or YouTube it. If you've ever seen the movie The Village, they're the evil people. They're so horrifying and scary that they are referred to as those we don't speak of. So the ruling, a judge must make a ruling on the show. For hashtag those we don't speak of, he is being charged with no longer being playable in cash games regardless of who is out for the Bulls. The bailiff flew to Chicago. He has, right now, those we don't speak of sitting next to me. He's been quiet the whole show so far. I'm pretty surprised. But he's here. He'll get a chance to say a few words if he wants. But what I would like to say is so far he's made 4 out of 22 shots for 13 points total in the last 3 games. Zipline, hashtag zipline, started over McDermott, or those we don't speak of, in the last game. He has been horrible without Butler, without Wade, without both. He is not athletic. He cannot get off his own shot. So, hashtag those who don't speak up. Do you have anything to say in your defense? Which defense, by the way, you don't play any defense either. He's nodding no. He has nothing to say in his defense. Then I must make my ruling. Are you playable in cash games? Guilty. Those people speak of no longer playable in cash games. That is the new segment, the Judge's Corner. All right. Injury news. Let's run through this quick. Taking way too much time. It's Cole Madison. Done getting loopy. Jeremy Lamb's going to be out. So Marco Bellinelli is probably going to be a decent play. And I think Batum is back in action on Friday. Isaiah Whitehead, Blackhead, Yellowhead, questionable. He stinks anyway. Patrick Patterson, questionable for Toronto. Jay Rich out with a foot injury. Zach LaVine, hip contusion. Wiggins gets the monster usage bump when LaVine is out. And we saw Thibodeau, another guy. I mean, he ended up starting Brandon Rush. Not Bijelica, not Dunn, not Muhammad. Although I think some of those guys had nice games. But he started Brandon Rush, who actually played well too. So be on lookout for LaVine. The Boston guys, again, Tyler Zeller, Avery Bradley, Amir Johnson. So maybe we'll see Ace Mickey again. Serge Ibaka is questionable. And KCP is questionable with the shoulder. So if KCP is out, I mean, I guess Stanley Johnson would get the start. He played a ton of minutes and didn't do much with those minutes on Thursday. All right, quick trip to Vegas. There's one game I'm not going to talk about on the show when we get to the place. Detroit at Utah. It's disgusting. It's sickening. Maybe Stanley Johnson because he's so dirt cheap. I would consider playing. Obviously, guys, everyone is playable in tournaments, even hashtag those we don't speak of. So that's one thing. That's one thing that we, you know, I go over and kind of try to beat in your heads in the consultations. It's completely different ways of thinking if you're playing tournaments for cash games for single entry tournaments. It's a different mindset. So are Detroit Utah guys in play for single entry and tournaments GPPs like large ones? Absolutely. But for cash games, I don't want any part of those guys. Unless they're, you know, relatively dirt cheap. So like maybe a Favors if he's still cheap. OKC, Minnesota, that's going to be a really juicy over-under. We're still waiting for LaVine news, so no line yet, but I'm excited for that game. Brooklyn, Toronto. Toronto's a 15-point favorite, so I'm nervous here on what to do with the Toronto guys, and Brooklyn is going to be on a back-to-back, so Toronto should absolutely blitz them. Westbrook and Harden are both playing. You got Harden going playing Memphis. We saw Westbrook just put up over 60, maybe close to 70 against Memphis. So it can be done. Houston's a 7-point favorite, but Houston is playing way down in pace. Boston, Atlanta, so that's a nice juicy game to attack. I mean, Isaiah Thomas, he's been dictating the pace of every Celtics game, and every Celtics game lately, it's been basically, you can look, if you want to bet like on over-unders, you can bet the over in that game. I that's probably going to be the closer to like 220 over-under. And then Miami-Milwaukee is another game that's kind of disgusting, 204 over-under. I won't avoid that completely, but not a huge fan of that game either. All right, pace. You know, the judge loves three things, the bailiff, pace, and usage. Toronto, it's a shame that they're 15-point favorites, but playing way up in pace against Brooklyn. Memphis, that is a team I will target. Playing way up in pace against Houston. Minnesota, playing up in pace against OKC. Boston, playing a little bit up in pace or projected pace versus Atlanta. And Orlando, playing up in pace against Portland. You guys are lucky I didn't do a show yesterday, actually, because if I did do a show, I would have spent about an hour and a half ranting on Evan Fournier because, man, did he cost me a ton of money. All I needed, I had Evan Fournier, Kevin Love, and Aminu going in the late games. And all I needed, and then everyone, J.J. Redick was over 45% owned, which I had a lot of J.J. Redick, just not in this one lineup. And all I needed was Love plus Fournier to not be outscored by J.J. Redick. And J.J. Redick outscored them both. Like, Love, Cleveland got blown out by Portland, and Fournier was just a train wreck. He could not keep up with Redick, got into foul trouble, barely played any minutes. I mean, I don't know. He was stuck at, like, 6 FanDuel points late in the fourth quarter. It was just disgusting. I would have just been absolutely just destroyed. He would have been could have been the first segment of the Judge's Corner. Anyway, all right, let's hop into the plays. Where are we? Where are we? All right, here we go. So, point guard, Westbrook. The problem with him is he's got jacked way up in price now. He was a few days ago, and it seems like FanDuel is being a little bit more proactive these days, which is good, I think. When you see guys with tough matchups, their prices are going down. Like Harden is priced way down for Friday, whereas Westbrook in a juicy matchup versus Minnesota is priced way up. I don't think you need to do it. Like we've seen all year long, on large slates, you don't have to do it in any format, especially because point guard is so loaded. However, it's never wrong to play Russell Westbrook, in my opinion, in cash. Never. Even to me, 13K and under is still fine for cash games. Like I said, though, point guard is always so super loaded. You have lots of guys like Isaiah Thomas. You have Lillard. You have Lowry on the slate. Kemba, Kyrie, Conley in a fantastic matchup. Even guys like Schroeder. So you don't have to do it. Fine. But Westbrook's always fine in all formats. And will I play him in cash? Right now, I actually am. Kyle Lowry. I would love to play some Lowry in cash, and I think you still can do it, but two things dissuade me. One is DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan is the Tyreek Evans of that team. Kyle Lowry is expensive now. He's 9.2K, and he goes 9, 10 possessions and lets DeMar DeRozan just take over. Sometimes rightfully so, because when DeMar gets it going, he does make tough shots. But it's hard for me to play a guy with a usage rate of – where is he? 26%. That's true usage. So it's probably low. Usage rate is probably lower than that. When there's like 10 guys on the slate who have a higher usage rate, when they're projected to beat Brooklyn by 15 points. So probably going to be a single entry and tournament play. And hopefully if Brooklyn somehow can keep that game close, he could smash. But I'm not going to play a ton of him because he's expensive, low usage rate. Isaiah Thomas. So he's expensive too. The difference is he's got a 35% usage rate, and that's massive. And without Avery Bradley, and now I already closed that window, so I don't remember if Avery Bradley's still questionable. If Bradley's going to be out again, even though Isaiah is mostly a one-trick pony and he needs to get actual points, he's been doing it. And you throw in the matchup versus Atlanta. Who do we attack from Atlanta? We attack Atlanta guards, especially point guards. They give them the third most fantasy points to point guard. So Isaiah Thomas, fine for all formats. Love the play. Damian Lillard. Normally I would object to Jrue Dench playing him, but this is too cheap. This is a bargain. This is the lowest I've seen Lillard priced in maybe 2 years. He was hurt, and then when he was out, McCollum was doing so much of the offense. He's come back, and like McCollum's still taking a lot of the shots. So we're getting Lillard now at a huge bargain. I'm hoping he goes under owned. I think he's okay for all formats, but for tournaments, this is the way you win a tournament. I say this all the time. The first time I won my first GPP, I got Harden at 3% when he was questionable. This was a couple years ago, and a couple nights ago, Westbrook was 16%. That's about as low as you can get Westbrook these days against Memphis. If you can get one of these stars who can end up. Is it possible that Lillard gets more FanDuel points than any point guard on the slate? It's possible. It could happen. I mean, will Westbrook probably outscore him? Probably. But besides Westbrook, I mean, it could happen. And if he goes nuts and you get him at a low ownership, you could make some big money. So this is too cheap for him. I'm not a fan of Jrue Dench, but it's a good spot. And more importantly, it's a good price. Kemba Walker. I like him too, 8.1K. Obviously, I like him more if Batum is out. I think Batum's coming back. So, to me, he's not a must anymore. But he's getting Philly. He's going to get some TJ McConnell defense. That's totally fine. You can attack a Philly at almost any position. And, yeah, he's got a 30.4 usage rate. So, I'm fine with that. I would prefer Isaiah to him. If I had to choose between him and Dame Jrue Dench in cash, I guess that's close. Man, I mean, their usage rates, Lillard's a little bit higher of a usage rate. I actually prefer Dame a little bit to Kemba on this slate, even though Dame's playing down in pace a little bit. But Kemba's still fine. I mean, Kemba's fine for all formats. Most people are still overlooking Kemba for the most part. He's been low-owned the last few nights. For the last few weeks, he's been low owned, especially because Batum's been going nuts when Batum's healthy. Kyrie Irving, 8K. So Cleveland is on this road trip right now, and they've lost the last two. Kyrie, the last three games, has not been great. 17, 30, 35, 46. You think that they got to be pumped up. They're only like a 6-point favorite at Sacramento, which is a little surprising because they should clobber Sacramento. I don't care where the game's being played. Kyrie, another guy, safe for all formats. This may be a day if you want to – although I'm so pissed at Kevin Love for killing me a couple nights ago. But like a nice strategy actually in tournaments, you can do it in cash, I guess, too. But if you play like a Kyrie, LeBron, Love, no one ever plays all three of them in the same lineup. People play two out of the three all the time. But if you play all three, it's a nice way to differentiate yourself. And they all can hit value. They are playing down in pace. I'm a little nervous about this. The one thing I always have been saying on the podcast lately, like if you have a dominant center like a DeMarcus Cousins, like an Embiid, I guess Brook Lopez would be the one example that does not come true. But centers can dictate pace. And if you're going to your center every time, that will slow down the game. And that's why Sacramento, they're playing so much through Cousins that Sacramento games are painful to watch in terms of pace. So I'm a little nervous. The pace of this game is not going to be great, but Kyrie's fine for all formats. Mike Conley, 7.9K. So Conley is getting Houston. So it means he gets Patrick Beverley defense. So I just watched Kemba Walker destroy Patrick Beverley. So it can be done. Yeah, Beverley is a pest. Conley, the last four games, he's been great. 40, 35, 50, 40. He played Westbrook, I think it was on Wednesday maybe, and that was a struggle. I think he started the first quarter with maybe like two FanDuel points, and I know a lot of us were already saying Dream Killer and Soul Crusher, which, as you guys know, the new rule, and some of you guys caught me with a technicality, but the rule is right now, we're sticking to this rule. If you're under 5K, you can't be a Dream Killer until halftime. I still got to think of a new rule if you're above 5K, but I guess 5K is the limit right now. But some of you guys still, and I know I'm guilty of it as well, we sometimes rush to call people dream killers, like in the first quarter. And we should at least, let's say for every player, except for Westbrook and Harden, I think for every player, we should wait at least a quarter. That's the new rule. There it is. Regardless of price, we must wait at least one full quarter before we officially unleash a hashtag dream killer, soul crusher, or even a dream lover for that matter. But Conley, I'm totally fine with him, all formats against Patrick Beverley. Would I prefer, man, the pace of this game is juicy. And I'm also surprised Conley, his usage rate close to 30%. I didn't think it would be that high. With that said, do I prefer Kyrie, Kemba, Lillard, Isaiah? Yeah, I still do a little bit, at least in cash games. But I think Conley for tournaments is in an elite spot here, and I will use him a lot in tournaments. I will use a lot of the Memphis guys. I'm going to have a Conley-Gasol lineup in tournaments. There's a lot of – sometimes it's hard to use Memphis guys because their pace is so disgusting. But here, when they're playing way up in pace, we can take advantage of it a little bit. And if you want to roll Conley on cash, you can do it. I'm just probably not. Dennis Schroeder, 7K. Another guy, I think he's fine for all formats. Isaiah Thomas, as well as he's playing on the offensive end, he still stinks defensively. Schroeder's another guy, 30% usage rate against Brooklyn, only 30 minutes, had 39 FanDuel points. He basically, the last 7-8 games, he's basically hit value. He's only had one dud, it looks like, in the last 10 games or so. So pretty consistent, very fair price. You know, you can save a couple thousand dollars if you don't want to play Isaiah. You can play Dennis Schroeder. I'm going to have a lot of lineups where I actually play Isaiah Thomas and Dennis Schroeder in the same duel. Hope it's a super fast-paced game because I think it will be, and that actually could pay off. That's a nice game to stack. Maybe you want to play a little St. Mickey as well. Goran Dragic, I like the fact the price is coming down, 6.7K. Brogdon, though, from Milwaukee, is a good defender. This game is going to be stuck in mud. Point guard's loaded. I don't think you need to do it. The other thing that really pisses me off now is Deion Waiters is back. You talk about it like a guy similar to Tyreek Evans, except not nearly as skilled. It's Deion Waiters. Took about 50 shots in the last game for Miami. So, Dragic is a nice tournament guy because if he gets it going, he could hit value, and no one's – he'll be super low-owned. He's going to be a sneaky ninja on this slate. I'm just for cash and single entry. I'll look elsewhere. So Detroit, Reggie Jackson, they get Utah. To me, that's going to be mostly a fade. I mentioned at the top of the show, you want to do it in tournaments. I get it. But for cash games, yeah, I don't think so. Ricky Rubio, 6.2K. A lot of this will hinge on LaVine for me. If LaVine is out, I might lock and load Rubio into my cash games. The last two games, he's been awesome, 40 and 49. I think LaVine played the second game versus Dallas. Against Houston, though, another team that has Beverly, Rubio was able to destroy him. Granted, a lot of it was not scoring, but Rubio had 17 assists, 17 and 15. Like I said, if LaVine is out, Rubio's gets a nice uptick. Wiggins gets a massive bump in usage. Towns will get more touches. So I really hope LaVine does not play. I mean, and also it's what you saw. If you actually see some real life basketball, you saw how much LaVine just does hurt Rubio. LaVine's a good ball handler, and if you're playing Rubio and LaVine, it limits Rubio's touches by what, 25% a game. And then there's no need to have Rubio. I mean, you're playing Rubio to handle the ball. And if you have another ball handler in your starting lineup like LaVine, and you also have Wiggins who can handle the ball, that roster, they need to do something with that roster. So I don't know if they need to make a trade or what, but it's not going to work playing Rubio, LaVine, and Wiggins, especially when you need to feed Towns that as much as you do. George Hill, I know a lot of you guys love playing George Hill. If you want to, go ahead. I will not be. This is a disgusting Detroit-Utah game. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to be a part of it. I'm already sickened about just imagining it on my screen, seeing end of three quarters, 58 to 54 Utah. Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters back really hurts his stock. So even though last game he was good, 31 FanDuel points, I would like to see that price come down a little bit. So tournaments only. Marcus Smart, if Avery Bradley's out, he's still fine. He's one of the value point guards on the board for this slate. So he's coming off a relatively bad game for him. And like I said, you can attack the hell out of Atlanta guards. Now, some of that was with Kyle Korver, who's now been traded. But yeah, I could care less. I don't know who's going to be defending Smart, but I think he's safe. If Bradley's out, all formats. If Bradley plays, I want no part of Smart at 5.6K. Alfred Payton is 5.6K, same price. He gets Dame Judy Dench. The problem here is the minutes have been an issue. He's dealing with injuries. So I don't know what the hell to make of this. Tournaments only. The next two guys used to be nice value plays, and now because they played so well, they become pricey. And that's TJ McConnell, 5.4K. Hell no, I'm not touching that little kid. Even though he hit the game winner against the Knicks, he's been good. If you want to do it, he's okay. I mean, I think the ceiling is like 30 FanDuel points. And to take down like a GPP, is that going to be enough? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think – maybe he won't lose it for you. I just think you're not getting a bang for your buck at that price anymore for him. Malcolm Brogdon, 5.3K. I mean, I prefer him to McConnell just because he has more upside. I mean, he's more talented in every possible way. Granted, the Bucks also do have a guy like Giannis and Parker. But then again – Philly has Embiid who takes every shot. So I still prefer I like Brogdon over McConnell if you want to play either. But you don't. These guys are no longer must-plays at these prices. 5.3K for Brogdon, 5.4 for TJ. You don't have to play him anymore. Beverly's 5.2K. His price is coming down. He's dealing with the wrist injury. Zero actual points against Minnesota. A guy with not much upside anyway. He'll be low-owned. So if you want to play him in some formats against Memphis, you can do it. I probably will not be for the most part. Then you got the two Sacramento guys, Collison and Lawson. They're both dirt cheap. You know, Collison's getting more minutes than Lawson these days. They're both going to end up close to around 24. On a nine-game slate, I just don't think you need to do it. You don't need to force – you don't need – remember, you build your rosters based on the slate. You don't need to force playing one of those guys on a nine-game slate. James Harden, 11.6K. So he's 1.2K cheaper than Westbrook. We just saw Westbrook go off for – I guess it was only 58 FanDuel points. I thought it was more versus Memphis. So can Harden do something similar? Sure. But do you need to do it? No. Is Giannis sitting down there $1,000 cheaper who's got an easier matchup? Absolutely. With that said, does shooting guards stink? for the most part on this slate? Yeah. So if I do end up going Harden, it's just going to be because of opportunity costs. And shooting guard sucks. Therefore, I may be a little – I'm intrigued to play Harden in cash. Right now, I'm not because I'm going to go Giannis instead. But like Westbrook, Harden's never really a bad play. I do think Houston can give him trouble. And I would just love one team to actually play Houston smart, maybe double Harden a little bit. You know, maybe refs won't call four ridiculous fouls when he's taking three-point attempts and he jumps into someone. So, you know, not a day you have to play Harden, but like Westbrook, always in play. I do like Giannis a little bit better. I don't see any way Miami can match up with him. I mean, Tyler Johnson's too small. Dragic, Waiters, Babbitt. I guess James Johnson would be the most athletic guy you could put on him. Giannis also coming off an injury, or not injury, an illness. He's probably dealing with the same thing the Judge has had for the last few nights. So I think he's in a really good spot. And safe for all formats. As long as we hear he's 100% healthy. DeMar DeRozan, the problem with him is his price now is jacked all the way up. He was down to like 8K like a week ago, and it was fantastic. Now he's back up to 9.4 freaking K. I don't want to pay that when there's 15-point favorites. And he's got to give me now 40, over 45 actual points. Not actual points. He's got to give me like over 45 FanDuel points. That means he's got to give me like 35 actual points because he's such a one-trick pony. I just don't want to do it. You can. I think he'll be – actually, against Brooklyn, so people will probably still play him. I just want to attack this slate in a different – I want to get a little more creative on this slate. If I have 10 lineups, maybe I play him in two. Maybe three, because he has been shooting really well. All right, maybe four. At the most, CJ McCollum. I mean, he's more expensive than he's more expensive than Damian Lillard these days. At 8.6K. For a one-trick pony, playing down in pace against Orlando. Yeah, I just don't want to do it. You can. For tournaments, fine. For cash, though, right now, I'm just not going to do it on the slate. Then you got a bunch of guys who are dealing with injuries or out. You know, Batum, Bradley, Levine, Eric Gordon. If Batum plays and he's healthy, 7.5K against Philly, I think that's a beautiful price. And as long as I hear he's no restrictions, he'll be fine for all formats for me on this slate. Oladipo, 5.7K. Yeah, Minnesota. He hasn't been great lately, but I need some value somewhere, and that's relatively cheap for him. So that's a fair price in an up-and-down game, so I don't mind that. Evan Fournier, he cost me a lot of money 2 days ago. I mean, just painstakingly bad. If Ibaka is out, his usage still should go up. I mean, it was just J.J. Redick had one of those nights and the foul trouble. You know, it's one of those things where I keep mentioning, if you get in early foul trouble, you almost never rebound. You never hit value. It's just one of those things. Psychologically, it gets in your head. So I do like playing because of recency bias going back to the well. I think he's fine for single entry and tournaments at 5.5K, even though he killed us a couple nights ago. Deion Waiters, look, guys, as much as I just mentioned that I hate him because he shoots every damn time he gets the ball, he played 38 minutes last game, had 27 FanDuel points, and I think he shot like 3 for 50. He's just a gunner, and Miami needs him to shoot and needs him to score. He's going to get a ton of minutes. He should be, for as much as he shoots, he'll be about 6K in a week and a half. So safe for all formats. He's dirt cheap. If he goes off, he can help you win a GPP. Then you got guys like Tim Hardaway Jr., Crabb, Rodney Hood. If you want to play those bums, you can do it. Sean Kilpatrick. Small forward. Man, the Judge is struggling. The cold medicine is wearing off. My nose stuffed. Man, Judge is trying to power through for you guys. All right, LeBron James, 9.9K. He's too cheap. That's just too cheap. I want to just lock and load him into my lineup. He's been the last two games for him, last three games for him have been bad. I know there's a lot of media press lately. He's been blaming, he's been mad about the refs, saying he's been mad about Cleveland not being able to practice and blah, 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 whine. All it means for the Judge, that's too cheap. I want to take advantage of it. I want some safety on this slate. and almost a lock and load for me in cash, and he's safe for all formats. Gordon Hayward, I don't want that Detroit Utah game for the most part. Rudy Gay, 6.9K, he's been good. Well, not, I take that back. 26, 33, 28, the last three games. He's locked into a lot of minutes. One trick pony. The problem, if you're a one trick pony and you play at a super slow pace, that's tough. So he's got to have a really efficient shooting night, which he almost never does. He's got some LeBron defense. Sacramento does get pumped up for this game. If Rudy Gay gets down to about 6K, if he ever does, that's going to be time to jump on him. I do think he does have 40, 50 FanDuel point upside. It's just a question of him getting the shots. He's another guy. He goes 9, 10 possessions, just standing in the corner, not touching the ball. So tournament's only for me. Andrew Wiggins, 6.8K. So FanDuel has jacked up his price a little bit. If LaVine is out, I will still play him. 35 FanDuel points last game without LaVine, 28 actual points. That's the problem with the one-trick pony. I mean, he's got to get you like almost 30 actual points to pay off. Now, I'll get some Roberson defense, but in this up-and-down game, if no LaVine is playing, if LaVine's out, I still think he's okay, especially for single-entry tournaments. If LaVine plays, then tournaments only, because that's really expensive. Trevor Ariza. As always, I will have one lineup with one Harden Ariza lineup. I'll have one Harden Ryan Anderson lineup because every three-pointer that Ariza takes off is off a pass from Harden. Otherwise, I don't need a ton of him. Peasant Covington, 5.5K. He came through for us, kind of. Another guy, sometimes you watch him play, it's a struggle. He gets booed mercifully in Philadelphia. Like, because some games he just shoots horrendously, but he's not a one-trick pony. He does other things on the court. 5.5K is a very fair salary. He'll get MKG defense. Yeah, I don't care too much about that. He's fine. I'm maybe not a cash game guy right now, but otherwise, totally fine. Jay Crowder, 5.2K. He finally busted out a little bit. He had like 15, 16 points in the FanDuel points in the first quarter. So I was hoping maybe like a 40 FanDuel point night on Wednesday. Ended up with only 32. But for him, that's been his highest game in close to a month. Now, if all those Boston guys are out again, lock and load. I'm going to use them in cash. I'm telling you, I really like this Boston-Atlanta game. I think we really can take advantage of it. And if all those Boston guys are out, he's going to end up with some more shots. He's going to get a lot of minutes. And I think that price is still very fair for him. So fine for all formats as long as those guys are out for Boston. Aaron Gordon. If Ibaka's out, Aaron Gordon might be a lock and load in cash games. Vogel, if Aaron Gordon gets hot, Vogel lets him play a ton of minutes. 39 minutes last game, 34 FanDuel points. I think he played the first 15 minutes of the last Magic game, which you almost never see. You almost never see a coach, if a guy has it going, like play the whole first quarter and then still start the second quarter. Normally the coach always pull the guy for rest because God forbid if he did something different than any other coach, you know, oh, the world again, it may end. So it was cool to see Vogel let him keep going because he was hot and he ended up with 34 FanDuel points. That price is way too cheap, especially if Ibaka is out. And you can attack Portland at small forward. They've been better lately at power forward. Aminu has been playing better. But you can attack the hell out of them at small forward, power forward, and center. So Aaron Gordon, if Ibaka's out, he's almost an elite play. And he will be high-owned, though, on the slate. Then you got Mo Harkless. You got the man with no usage rate, MKG. You got Bazemore. Damari Carroll sitting there for take for free. Roberson, all those guys. If you know, you can always play them for a dart. They're dirt cheap. All right, power forward, Paul Millsap, 8.1K. Boston, you can attack their bigs, especially right now. All their bigs are hurt, so Millsap should be able to feast. 37, 39, 39. Last three. I haven't been loving to play him, and. Right now I'm going to value guys because if I have Westbrook or Harden in my cash game lineup, it's hard to pay up for Millsap. But I think Millsap's fine for all formats, especially because all those Boston guys are banged up. He should be able to abuse them inside. Kevin Love coming down in price a little bit because him and the rest of the Cavs have been bad on this road trip. 27. The last game was just brutal. He couldn't make a shot to save his life. And only had 27 fandom points against Portland, which he should have been able to smash them. Only played 28 minutes because Portland blew them out too. Sacramento is a team that you can attack at that position. I don't know who they're going to roll out of power forward. Sometimes they roll out, you know, the dead man walking Kufis. Does Willie Stein ever play? I don't think so. I'm not sure who the hell else will be guarding Kevin Love, but he's in a great spot. I think he's safe for all formats. Jabari Parker, his price keeps creeping up, and the thing that worries me is he doesn't rebound the ball. So now you're basically getting a one-trick pony for the most part who's pretty expensive. So he's almost the same price as Kevin Love, and give me Kevin Love over Jabari Parker on this slate. Enes Kanter, always a nice single entry in GPP play. Zach Randolph, 5.9K. He should be able to bully his way in the – I mean, he'll always give you these days between 20 and 30 Fanduel points. Can he give you more? Maybe. I mean, Memphis playing up in pace. Yeah, Zebo's fine for – I think he's fine for all formats. It's – I don't know who Houston's going to use to defend him. He should just – if Ryan Anderson, he should destroy. I imagine Houston's going to play some Nene – a lot of Nene in this game over Harrell to try to match up with Randolph and Gasol. But Zizibo should be able to kill those guys. Ilyasova, 5.9K. Yeah, I mean, he's getting around 30 minutes. 30 minutes, safe for all formats. The upside's not tremendous. I wish he would get more minutes, but he's fine. Aminu, wow, Aminu, he was 4.2K a week ago. Now he's 5.8K. He's a man without a usage rate. I think he took 16 shots last game, but that's not going to happen again. 28, 36, 30, 32, 28 the last five games or so. He's been great. I mean, but 6K almost for him? Yeah, I don't know if I want to do that. That's – I mean, this may be the day to get off him. I mean, I love taking advantage of a guy's price, but so at some point you outgrow your value, and he may have done that. James Johnson, 5.8K. You know, if there's a Miami guy I'll look to, it's probably Deion Waiters and also James Johnson. He's been really consistent. Another guy is probably going to get close to 30 Fanduel points. And he'll probably have to guard Giannis. Tobias Harris, Detroit, Utah, so Tobias Harris, probably not. Ryan Anderson, one or two lineups with Harden, I'll do it. I mean, I will say Memphis, you know, as much as Zebo and Jamichael Green, mostly Zebo, will give Anderson trouble. Anderson will give them trouble on the defensive end too, because Zach Randolph does not want to be guarding the 3-point line. So Anderson he's going to still take his 8-9 3-pointers, you know, and his price is pretty cheap. So he's still an excellent tournament play. He'll be low owned. If you get Harden and Anderson on this slate, they're both going to be low owned. Well, Harden for. You know, for Harden to be loaned, and they can help you win a GPP if they make shots. And they're coming off of rest. I like shooters when they have their legs. Gorgui Dieng, he's been like the one guy whose the minutes have been down the last couple games from Minnesota, 15 and 17 Fanduel points. He, another guy a couple nights ago, cost me a lot of money. So some of that's based on matchup against OKC. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, Towns is a bad defender, so maybe they use Dieng to defend Adams and he gets more minutes. But I don't love the play, especially if those minutes go down. He does not have a high usage rate, so not a big fan. Derek Favors, 4.7K. Maybe if there's a guy playing Utah, it's him. He's still really cheap. Marvin Williams. I had Marvin Williams at like 1% or 2% the other night because all the Charlotte bigs were banged up and they're playing Houston, playing way up in pace. I thought it was an ideal spot for him. I was hoping he'd get like maybe 35 minutes and they'd go small. Unfortunately, they still played the bum Spencer Hawes a lot of minutes. But Marvin came through for me, gave me 28 Fanduel points. That was almost six times value. So he was the reason in some lineups, I did make some good money. It was him and Jonas Valanciunas down on that night who I had. Other than that, you got Frank the Tank is 4K. If you want to go there, he's whatever. You guys know Frank the Tank by now. Anthony Tolliver's a guy to keep an eye on. If you find out he's starting for Sacramento, he's been good. So you can take a flyer on him. He's 26 Fanduel points the last two games, and he's 3.9K, dirt cheap. All right, center, got his feet up. The judge is about to pass out. I mean, center's pretty fascinating because Towns has been playing so well. He's basically the same price as Cousins. Cousins is 10.1K. Towns is 9.7K. Normally, I like to avoid Steven Adams. Now, if you could tell me these two are going to be the same price, give me DeMarcus Cousins as well. I mean, Towns has been playing great, been playing consistent. But I guess if LaVine's out, I will consider Towns a little bit more. And I still will have the exact same lineup, and I'll play Towns in one and Cousins in one because just to cover my bases. But I still prefer Cousins over Towns. If I had to choose one. If you're telling me they're going to be basically the same price, which on FanDuel now they basically are, I still prefer Cousins' matchup against Cleveland, Tristan Thompson versus Towns versus Steven Adams. Although both still fine plays. Whiteside finally had a good game against Golden State and got, I think he was in the 40s, almost 50 FanDuel points. Yeah, well, wow, 57, my bad. 28 points, 20 rebounds against the Warriors. So you can destroy Bucks bigs. So, yeah, I will have some exposure to some Deion Waiters, James Johnson, and Whiteside for this Miami-Milwaukee game. Maybe I'll have one lineup where I actually have like a mini stack of that game and hope the pace is somehow faster than expected. Marc Gasol, 8.2K. So he should destroy Houston. Nene is 85 years old, and Harrell, while I love Harrell's athleticism, Harrell is just not nearly skilled enough to deal with Marc Gasol in the post. So I think Gasol is safe. I mean, I wish he was priced a little bit down, but he's safe for all formats on this slate. And he'll still be low-owned because center's loaded. I mean, center is a fantastic position. And on FanDuel, you only get one. On DraftKings, this may be a day to play two. Dwight Howard, 7.6K. He should smash. I mean, he should be able to get every rebound in the world against Boston right now, against the zip line or whoever the hell they're playing. Say Mickey. Hey, Mickey. Say Fricky. I don't know how Dwight doesn't give me 15 rebounds. That's like his floor. So really nice cash game play and safe for all formats. And Rudy Gobert, another guy who no one ever plays. He's going to get you 30 to 40 FanDuel points. It's just a lock. I don't care about pace with him necessarily. Detroit's going to be bricking and claying up. Think about all the horrendous shots Reggie Jackson's going to be taking in this game. All the bricks he's going to lay up. Rudy Gobert's going to grab all those rebounds. So a nice pivot off of someone like Dwight to Gobert. He'll be super low owned. He'll be less than 5% owned on this slate probably. Al Horford, I don't like attacking Dwight Howard. Then again, Al Horford's basically plays power forward. He should be adjusted and put at power forward on FanDuel. So you can do it. He's like the only healthy big that Boston has. You know, if Isaiah ever lets him shoot a little, he's pretty good. 37, 30, 30, 42. And the last like six games or so, he's been a floor of like 34 FanDuel points. I guess he had one game of like 30, but he's been good. So he's fine too. Another guy, he'll be under-owned. Andre Drummond. No one's going to play him. Include me in that. I don't like attacking Gobert. Center, there's like 10 centers that I like on this slate. There's zero reason to play Drummond unless you want to play him in a tournament and get someone at 3% ownership, maybe 2% ownership. Then I guess I understand it because he's cheap. The one good thing FanDuel is doing, they're lowering the price. So he's 7.2K. Maybe for some reason he gobbles up a lot of those rebounds as well. Although I see him falling asleep against Gobert. And it's a back-to-back for Detroit as well. Vucevic, you can destroy the hell out of the Portland bigs. Another sneaky play. He'll be under-owned. Most people do not like playing guys off the bench. That's why he's one reason why he's always under-owned. But almost 40 FanDuel points the last two. Now, could he end up being the highest scoring center on this slate? The odds are not great. But it's possible, right? Especially if Ibaka's out. Another guy you're going to get, you know, between 5 and 8% owned. Brooke Lopez on a back-to-back up against my bay. Jonas Valanciunas, probably not. Plumdog, you can attack Vucevic. You can attack Orlando. So he's okay too. I just like other guys on this slate probably a little bit better. Greg Monroe is now 6.3K. That's disgusting. That's really expensive. He's been great the last five, six games. But another guy similar to I already forgot who it was now. Was it I think it was Aminu. At some point, you get too expensive. I mean, you You were a value play, and now you're just over expensive, man. Like, I was fine going to the outlet store to buy you. Now I see you at Coach. I see you at Prada. Yeah, you're not a Prada player, Greg Monroe. So I'm not. I don't think I'm going to play you. Steven Adams, 6K. That's a little pricey, but he's fine. It's tough to not massive upside. It's hard to see him getting over 30, 35 Fando points. But Towns is not a good defender, although they'll probably put Gorgui Dieng on him. Valanciunas, 5.5K. If there is a Toronto guy that I will play, remember, I like playing Valanciunas when the opposing team has a center. Brook Lopez is playing. For every minute Brook Lopez is on the court, that means Valanciunas will be on the court. Valanciunas should be able to block Brook Lopez's shot, bully him around the basket. We all know Brook Lopez can't rebound. This could be another game where he's going to feast. My only concern here is everyone saw him get 47 Fanduel points last game, so the ownership's going to be relatively high. But still, another really nice spot where you could play Valanciunas, and he's still really cheap. Montrezl Harrell, 5.2K. I wouldn't be surprised if Nene starts this game and Harrell doesn't get a ton of time, so not a great play on this slate for him. And that's as low as I'm going to go. I guess maybe Nene. Maybe if I hear he's going to start, maybe I play him in a couple lineups, because if he can play 24 minutes, maybe he does something. But I don't think you need to do it. You don't need a four center on this slate. All right, that's it. The judge made it. God, I feel 1,000 times worse at the end of the show than when I started it. All right, but you made it through the weekend. We all did. Hopefully you made some money on Thursday. Hopefully we all can achieve some glory on Friday. And I wish you well. Other than that, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, download the app Draft. And with that, me and the bailiff say court is adjourned.